And Mark chapter 11, 2 Kings 7 and Mark chapter 11. I guess this will be a 7-11 sermon this morning. Oh, you'll just be driving home and you'll just laugh at that. You'll think, oh, pastor's just so witty. 2 Kings chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word? Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine own eyes, but shalt not eat thereof. And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say, We will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Assyrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go out into the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come unto the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried thence silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent and carried thence also, and went and hid it. Then they said one to another, We do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So they came and called unto the porter of the city, and told him, saying, We came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied in the tents as they were. And he said he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house. And when the king arose in the night and said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry, therefore they are gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. And one of the servants answered and said, Let some take, I pray thee, five of those horses that remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they are as all the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, they are even as all the multitude of Israelites that are consumed, and let us send and see. And they took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after its host to the Syrians, saying, Go and see. And they went after them unto Jordan. And lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels, which the Syrian had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. And now look with me in Mark chapter 11, beginning at verse 22. Many of you could probably quote this. And Jesus answered, saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt it in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatso things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of God can. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, how I thank you for your word today and for its truths. And I pray today, Lord Jesus, that you'll anoint me powerfully to uphold your truth like the diamond that it is, and let us gaze upon its beauty, and let its beauty take root deep in our souls. Lord, I'm asking you for fresh faith to be poured upon each and every one of us today. I'm asking for the little faith we do have, Lord, to be strengthened today by the might and power of the Holy Spirit. I'm asking today, Lord, for a fresh hope to fall upon each and every one to know that you can and will do anything for your children. You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. And I already sense the mighty anointing and moving of the Holy Spirit as we're praying this prayer today. You can do anything, Lord Jesus. Nothing is impossible with God. Hallelujah to the Lamb forever. Lord Jesus, today bless your people through the preaching of your word. Help me to glorify Jesus Christ today. I lean not to mine own understanding, but I look unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is able, and God can do anything. Hallelujah. We give you all praise and glory today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I was reading the other day in one of the Bible commentaries that I have from Brother Swaggart about a time in his life when it seemed like Satan had hit the ministry with so much that it couldn't possibly continue to function. And he said he had prayed and he had fasted and he had sought God and done everything he knew to do, but it still looked like there wasn't going to be sufficient funds to continue to even operate, and if they did get the funds in, he felt like, who's going to listen to me anyway? But he said deep in his heart, the Lord was stirring him and telling him, don't quit. Don't quit. But he kept asking the Lord, how can I go on? How can I continue to minister? He said a preacher that he didn't even know called him up out of the blue and asked him if he could come and have lunch. And he said, Brother Swaggart, I don't usually do this kind of thing, but he said, I really believe that I have a word of the Lord for you. And the date was set, and they came and met. And Brother Swaggart related they had a wonderful lunch together. It was very uplifting and encouraging. And as they sat having lunch and fellowship together, he said the question kept crossing his mind, what does this man have to tell me? Because he perceived that obviously this brother was not some flake or not somebody who was way out there spiritually in his thinking and in his theology. Very sound and godly man he perceived him to be. And finally, near the end of the lunch, the man bowed his head and he said, Brother Swaggart, I'm going to tell you what I believe God sent me here to tell you. And he said, I must admit to you, as long as I've known the Lord, I'm ashamed of the simplicity of what I felt the Lord has called me here to say to you. And he said, I've prayed about it. I tried to get away from doing this. But he said, I know the Lord just will not let me off the hook on coming here to tell you what I believe he's told me to tell you. I must obey. And Brother Swaggart said, the man looked up and tears began running down his cheeks. And he said, here's what the Lord sent me here to tell you, Brother Swaggart. God can. God can. Don't you feel the power in that? The Holy Spirit takes those things that are so simple to transmit glorious messages to you and I of faith and power. And Brother Swaggart said he knew instantly that this gentleman had heard from the Lord and what God was telling him. That what you're looking at is impossible with man. But with me, all things are possible. I can. I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm going to get a little bit personal with you here for just a moment. Last week, when the Holy Ghost gave out that message, God can resurrect anything. It was through Mahari that spoke it. God can resurrect anything. I don't know what that did for you. But I have not let that go. That was a word, that was a rhema word from God that has sunk deep into my spirit. God can resurrect anything. God can resurrect anything. Hallelujah, he's still in the resurrection business. Amen. Amen, I feel that this morning. It didn't end when Jesus came out of the tomb. It started when Jesus came out of the tomb. And because he lives, Jesus said, ye shall live also. There's power in that phrase there. God is telling us that because he resurrected Jesus, if our faith is anchored in Jesus, anything that's in our lives, he can resurrect because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. Praise God. And now we come to the story in 2 Kings 7 of these four lepers. The Syrians had Samaria surrounded. The city was under siege, which was a cruel act on the part of an enemy army in this day to starve a people to death and weaken their will and cause them to give up. The Syrians had Samaria surrounded so that nobody could come in or go out of the city. Conditions were deplorable within the city of Samaria. People eating dove's dung just to survive. Ugly conditions. Babies crying out for a morsel of food. Men fainting due to lack of hunger and thirst. And it seemed there was no hope. But sitting outside the gate of the city, you find these four lepers. And leprosy in Bible times was a disease that was socially, what's the word I would want to use? The leper was socially excluded from life itself because they were so afraid of it being contagious. And the leper couldn't even come within 50 feet or so of another individual without having to cry out the words unclean, unclean, unclean under the law. And here sit these four lepers. And leprosy, again, we need to bring out, is a type of sin. There's no better picture of what sin does to the spirit as to what leprosy does to the human body in the natural. Slowly eating it away as the nerves die and limbs fall off and literally rot on the body. It's an ugly, sickly disease. And that's just what sin does to the human body. And as I thought about this in preparing this message, I thought there's never been a one of us in this building this morning that spiritually was not a leper at some point in time. And that sin had its hold on us. And sin was eating away at us, killing us. And spiritually we were rotting and dying. And as these four lepers who were ostracized by the people that they loved, by their families, couldn't even get near them. If they had families, they couldn't even put their arms around their children to hug their necks. Even their family could not come near them. They sat outside the gate in the midst of this famine. And what I pray that you'll see in this, so the Lord helps me to preach it right, is that if faith is proper and properly placed, God can and will do anything for anybody that will believe him. I mean anything. I feel like my words are so feeble this morning as I'm trying to transmit this and so uneloquent. But I can't say it any more plainly or clearly than that. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us all to know this morning. God can do anything. He can do anything. He can resurrect anything. He can fix anything. No matter how bleak, no matter how dire the situation that you find yourself in, no matter how tempted you are by the enemy to give up and quit, the Holy Ghost wants you to know this morning that if you won't quit, God won't quit. I want that to sink in today. If you won't quit, God will not quit. No matter how bleak it seems, and God will always honor proper faith that is placed in him. He will extricate you from situations, even if it was your own fault getting into them. Because he's a God of grace. He's a God of grace. If he didn't treat us with grace, where would any of us be? the biggest messes we've made, if we'll trust Him and we'll repent, God can get you out of it. God will make a way. And here I see that so in the lives of these four lepers. The city's starving to death. No doubt there are prophets and great men of faith sitting inside the city of Samaria. One of them, Elisha, one of the only one we're told who had enough faith to believe that God could turn this situation around, walked in and told the king, and I'm paraphrasing, tomorrow there's going to be plenty of food, and let's put it in the modern vernacular, gas prices are going to drop. Gas is going to be real cheap come tomorrow morning. I'm, of course, speaking in the vernacular. The king didn't want to believe him. And you never know who or what God's going to use to bring about His mighty power and His mighty plan. The Bible says God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. The Bible says He's chosen the foolish things of this world to confound those that are wise. To look at it from human perspective, these four lepers would be the last ones on earth that God would use to save an entire city. But they had faith. They had faith, and they acted on that faith. And as they sit there, they say to one another, there's nothing but death in the city. There's nothing but famine in Samaria. People are starving. If we go into there, we're going to die. If we sit here, we're going to die anyway. Let's march into that camp of Syrians that has the city surrounded. And, you know, maybe they'll give us something to eat. And if they kill us, well, we die again anyway. Any way we go, we could die. But they asked that great question. Why sit we here till we die? You know, the worst thing you can do is stand still and do nothing when you're in trouble. Because faith, if it's proper faith, will always produce an action on the part of the believer. God will not let you sit still if it's real faith. That real faith is going to be translated into some type of action. And this is the kind of faith, this is the kind of faith I'm preaching about this morning, that Satan cannot rattle, that Satan cannot shake, that Satan cannot steal. Because the greatest fear we all have as humans is the fear of dying. We don't know what's on the other side. Now, let's be honest. Even though we know Jesus and we have faith in His Word, we still have not seen with our physical eyes what's on the other side. We have the revealed Word of God, which cannot lie, which tells us what's there, but we've still never seen it. These lepers did not know what was on the other side of death for them. But they knew some way, somehow, that by sitting still, nothing good was going to come out of that. When you make up your mind, no matter what your situation, that I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to go for it, and I'm going to act on His Word, and I'm going to do what He's told me to do, I'm here to tell you without fail in every circumstance, He's going to work a miracle for you. He's going to work a miracle for you. God can. God can. God can. Hallelujah. And these lepers, now think of this. Who are the outcasts? The ones that are looked askance at. The ones that look like they're crazy and have no sense and they're dying and rotten. That's how most of the religious world and all of the secular world looks at somebody that really has their faith in God. Notice I said the religious world and the secular world. That's exactly how they view those of us seated in this church this morning. We're the outcasts of society. We're the ones who are not intellectually stable. We're the ones who are facing mental deficiencies. And nobody could use that bunch. But oh, I've got news for the demons of hell. We have a God in heaven who has an anointing on us. And when the world looks at us, especially me, I'll speak for myself. You could say, yeah, he's a little bit mentally deficient. Yeah, he's not too intellectual. Yeah, he's not too eloquent. But one thing about it, my faith's in Christ and what He did for me at the cross. And that means I can possess the mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit. And with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon an individual, great things will be accomplished by God through that individual. It's an act of faith. And I'm announcing to the demons in hell this morning, most of this world may laugh at us. Most of the church may look askance at us. But we're going to take this gospel into this community. As God helps us, we're going to stand in the square of Springfield. And we're not going to be obnoxious about it, but we're going to be uncompromising about it. That the answer to every problem and every situation in an individual's life and in this nation is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And God can fix anything in their life if they'll believe that message. That's not hard to grasp at all. But let me show you what the anointing can do when we act in faith. These four lepers start marching toward the camp of the Assyrians. Four lepers who have in and of themselves no power and should not be feared at all in the natural realm. But God puts an anointing on them. And as they're marching toward the camp of the Assyrians, the Bible says that God made their footsteps sound to the Assyrians like the mightiest armies in the world. That's what the anointing will do. That's what the anointing of the Holy Ghost will do. That's why in the midst of your situation, you can't quit. You can't quit, church. No matter how humiliating it may be to you personally, keep holding on to God. No matter how this world may be looking at you and your individual failure, you keep looking to God. You keep your faith in God because God can fix anything. Hallelujah. And He has such an anointing on these four lepers that as they march toward the camp of the Assyrians hear the mightiest army in the world coming. Oh, glory. Can't you see the spiritual parallel there? As we go to downtown Springfield and out into these schools, the world may look, and most of the church may look, and say, that's a gang of hicks and buffoons. What do they think they can do? And that to a degree, using me as an example again, they might be right. But we've got the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We've got God's message to carry. And God is going to help us. And somebody somewhere is going to hear that their answer is Christ and Him crucified. And they're going to get saved and they're going to get delivered. And they're going to get healed. If it's just one person, it's worth it all. Hallelujah. Amen. Andy, I thought about you this week as I was preparing this message. Dennis, yeah, here's poor Andy. I pick on him all the time. Dennis, you and I talked about this, and Chris, you and I talked about it. The very last outreach we did at Christ Chapel when we went over to the park, we had some that day that came and made a profession of faith in Christ, and praise God for that, you know. That's our mission, church. Our mission is just to win them, and then we can't cause somebody to keep serving God, but we delivered the message. That's our job. And to the eyes of man, that outreach wasn't much, really. I know. It didn't look like much. It looked probably pretty pitiful, to be honest with you. But it was that day, Dennis, you and I have talked about it, that I believe the Holy Ghost got a hold of Andy. Because we'd ask Andy to help us cook that day. And Andy, I don't even know if you realize this, buddy. It was from that time on we started seeing the change in you after that outreach. All of us did anyway. We talked about it because you seemed so thrilled to be able to help out in the church and to minister to us. And now look at what God has done with Andy's life. Look at where he's at now. That made it worth it all, church. I'm here to tell you, I want to prepare you for this as we're going to go and carry this gospel. Our success is predicated upon our obedience to carry the gospel. Not how many accept, receive, reject, or whatever. And our God is going to be pleased, but I feel with all of my heart, hell is getting nervous. Because the anointing of God is going to be on what we're doing because we're carrying God's message. We're not going down there for ourselves. We're not going down there to hold up Crossway Community Church. We're going down there to hold up Jesus Christ and Him crucified. and God's going to anoint us. And no matter how weak and feeble the effort may seem in the natural realm, God's going to put an anointing on us, and souls and lives are going to be touched with this message in the office buildings or wherever they may hear it downtown. They're going to hear that their answer is Jesus Christ and what He did for them on the cross, and that He is the only answer, and God is going to crown our effort with success. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. You see, the anointing makes the difference. And the anointing on these four lepers scared off an entire army. And to where when these four lepers enter the camp of the Assyrians, guess what? They find all the gold and all the wealth of Syria that God has already laid on their hands. God had already given them the victory. They just had to act in faith. They just had to act in faith. And we have grasped now in this church the message of the cross. Everybody who attends here regularly is well-schooled and well-versed in Christ and Him crucified and what that means. And now it's time. Now I feel God saying it's time. It's time. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to open doors for you. Who knows? I mean, I want to reach the down and out, and I want to reach the up and out. There might be bank executives down there that hear us, and there might be bums lying in the street, but God loves them all. God loves them all. I want to reach them all with this message. Hallelujah, and God's going to help us. You make my words. You hear my words this morning. It's God's time for us to do this. I've been praying ever since we founded this church, and we've talked about doing several things, but I just never felt in my spirit like it was God's time yet. But now I feel that God is saying to this body and to you as individuals, I have called you, I have gifted you, I have equipped you with the right message, and now I'm going to anoint you to take it outside these four walls to reach a lost and dying world with the greatest message that's ever been heard, Christ and Him crucified. I'm not trying to empty other churches. I pray that other pastors would hear this message and begin to preach it in their churches. That's not my goal. My goal is to merely transmit God's unfailing, undying, uncompromised message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And because of this act of faith, God told me to come and tell you this morning, He's going to bless and He's going to help us to get this message out there. Hallelujah. Praise God. They spoiled four lepers, spoiled the entire, the mightiest army in the world of this day. God chose four lepers to do it. That's what I said. All of us were lepers at one time, but spiritually speaking. But praise God, we ain't no more. We ain't no more, glory to God. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. And our sins are washed away. There is no stain of leprosy in the spiritual sense on these bodies anymore. We've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And we can go and tell them, there is an answer. There is an answer. And it's not found in a book made by man. It's not found in a psychologist's couch. It's not found in a 12-step program. But Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, has already redeemed you from the curse that plagues your soul. And He can deliver you from that curse and make it like you were never even under that curse. Somebody give Him a hand of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, the faith must be in God's word. Elisha spoke the word of God to the king. The king refused to believe it. The revealed will of God was spoken to the king. He refused to believe it. And I like how the Bible says it, the Lord on whose hand the king leaned mocked Elisha. And Elisha said, you'll see it happen, but you'll have no part in it. Do you get that? The king was leaning on the hand of man and what man could accomplish. So much of the church and all of the secular world is looking to man for its answers now. And man's going to fail them. And many are going to mock. I'm prepared for that. Just like this servant of the king's did. They're going to mock this message of Christ and Him crucified. Surely it can't be that easy. Surely it can't be that simple. I ain't going to worry about that. I'll pray for them, but there's going to be some that will hear it. There's going to be lepers all around down there, I believe. Hallelujah. And they're going to hear there's an antidote. There's a remedy for your situation. And it's not in us. It's not in our church. It's in Jesus Christ. And apply this to your own personal life. Because it's so tempting after you've taken beating after beating after beating, seemingly, and the situation has not changed at all. That's the time Satan tempts the greatest. Let go. Quit. It just ain't worth it. I've got to hurry. Four lepers believed God, and God anointed them and made their four weak footsteps sound like the mightiest army in the world. And as they're, now watch this, as they're walking toward the camp of the Syrians, they're not seeing nothing. They're not seeing one thing happen, but the hand of God is upon them. I'm speaking to somebody this morning in your situation. Maybe you've been feeling like God ain't here and nothing's going on, but you've kept walking. Keep walking. God's hand is on you. His anointing is on you. If your faith is in the right place, and I know it is if you're here this morning, His hand is on you. Things are happening right now that are mighty because God's anointing is on you. And the lepers walked into the camp, and four lepers spoiled the mightiest army in the world because they had the anointing of God on them. The anointing makes the difference. God can do anything with somebody that will believe Him, with somebody that will act upon His Word. You know, the Word of Faith teachers are correct on one thing. When they say you must confess and act on the revealed Word of God, that is a true statement. But, here's the conjunction that matters most of all. The Word of God reveals the will of God in any particular situation. And you don't get to decide in and of yourself what you're going to choose for your own life. You must act upon His revealed will for your life. What He's telling you to do. And what He's telling you to do will always be confirmed by the Word. In other words, He's not going to tell you to do anything that's going to be outside of the confines of His Word. That's how you can know it's His perfect revealed will. That's how I can confidently stand here before you this morning. I know it's God's heartbeat to reach a lost and dying world with the message of Christ and Him crucified. The Word of God plainly reveals that. That's why I can so boldly stand before you this morning and tell you He's going to help us. Because that's His will. And by us going forward to transmit that message, that is an act of faith on our part. And God is going to anoint it and He's going to help us. Hallelujah. Apply that to your own personal situation now. God's not going to keep any secrets from His children. If He has revealed His will for your life, there's going to come a tremendous test of faith before that event comes to its fruition. There's going to come a tremendous test of faith. These four lepers, as greatly as they were used by God, their faith was tested to its very end. They had to be willing to die. But let me tell you this, I got to come back to it. When the fear of death is removed, what can Satan do with us? Even though we've never seen it. But the Holy Spirit confirms the truthfulness of God's promises. And God's promises in His revealed Word tells me that we're all going to live forever if our faith is in Christ. It tells me we're going to a place where there's going to be no death and no sorrow. So therefore, like the old song says, what have I to fear? Amen? What's the worst Satan can do with us if God so chooses to allow him to? The very worst thing he can do to us, send us to heaven. Whoa! Glory to God! Glory to God. That's the absolute worst thing He can do to us. Send us to heaven if God so allows. He can't even do that. Now I want to clarify that. Satan, send us to heaven. I'm just saying, if in the midst of our testing, in the midst of our trial, God in His sovereign wisdom so chooses, like He did Stephen as a biblical example, to allow us to die for His cause, we go to heaven. Glory to God. Glory to God. What have we to fear? Amen. What is there to be afraid of? love, church. Glory to God. I'm not worried about the stock market. I'm not worried about the economic situation in this nation, because I know my God has already prevailed on the cross. Jesus already won my victory. Jesus already paid the price for me to have eternal life. Glory to God. God can do anything. Hallelujah. And he took these four lepers and brought down the mightiest army in the world. Now, I'm hurrying to a close now. These four lepers are sitting there enjoying the spoils of the battle, which God gave them. Nothing wrong with that. There's always going to be blessing. Always going to be blessing in obeying God and acting in faith. They went into the first tent and found all this gold and food and silver, and they're just having them a great time. They said, well, let's go put some of this away. Then they come back to the second tent. Same thing happens. But now here's the nature of God. Then they say, wait just a minute. There's people inside the city starving to death and dying. This is not a good thing we're doing here. We need to go tell them. We need to go and tell them. And these four lepers that God used to drive the mightiest army in the world out and scare that mighty army literally to death. Can you get this scene in your mind? Here's these four lepers. And even though the Bible doesn't say it, I've got to believe that God healed them all of this leprosy. For years now, they've been not able to come near anybody. Nobody wanted them near. But guess what? Now they're marching back into the city laden down with gold and food. And they're, hey, look what he did for us. Look what he did for us. Look what God has done. Look what he did for us. He's healed us. He's set us free. He's blessed us. He's delivered us. And he wants to do the same thing for you. If you'll receive it, glory to God. Do you see the spiritual parallel here, church? God will vindicate his truth ultimately. Always. God will vindicate his message. Always. And as these four lepers march into the city, now nobody's pushing them aside any longer. Nobody's looking down their nose at them as outcasts any longer. Why? Because literally they're carrying life. They're carrying life. They're carrying life into the midst of that dead situation. Glory to God. That's what we're going to do, Crossway Community Church. We're going to carry life into the middle of a dead situation. And those of us that were lepers and are no longer, and have tasted of the Lord and found that he is good, are going to be able to go and tell him that. In Mark 11, 23, 24, beginning in verse 22 actually, the word says, have faith in God. Whatever your situation this morning, that's your answer. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. And I'm not going to have time to properly elucidate it, but Jesus said that if you'll just believe, you could say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, you'll have whatsoever you say. Now again, that statement is predicated upon you acting upon the revealed will of God. Doesn't mean you get to sit down as the Word of Faith teachers try to teach us and to confess you down a new Cadillac or a new $500,000 home. That's not the proper application of that scripture at all. The idea is, if you act in faith upon God's revealed will and you just keep on trusting him, he's going to give you what you're asking him for. Now, some of you this morning, I don't know your individual situation. It could have been going on for years. And as you prayed and sought God, nothing's changed. You've been tempted to give up. You've been, tempted to quit. When you consider the story of these four lepers, never forget God's anointing is on you and Satan's scared to death of you. He's scared to death of you because of the anointing that's on you. And God's working. Even though you haven't been able to see it, he's working right now. Right now. And if you'll just don't quit, don't sit still and do nothing. Keep acting on the Word of God. Keep trusting in Jesus Christ. Keep going the way that God has revealed to you, he wants you to go. Even when you see nothing going on. Even if he's called you to face head on the situation that you're most afraid of. What have you to fear? If he's called you to walk that way as he did these four lepers, to walk right in to what they thought could very well kill them. They said, it's worse than sit still, because if we sit still, we're going to die anyway. Why not get up and believe God? This morning, spiritually, why not? Stand up, dust yourself off from maybe a beating you've been taking, and maybe the fight you've been in, and say, I'm going to believe him. God can. God can. God can. God can resurrect anything, anything, anything. I don't care what it is. He can resurrect anything. And he loves you. You're his child. But there's going to come between the time that he reveals his will to you and the time that will is brought to fruition, there's going to be a test of faith. There's going to come a test of faith. And I know that don't make nobody shout, but it's going to be a sore test of faith. Because God wants to prove to you, not to him. He doesn't need proof. He wants to prove to you what faith in him will bring about. And how he will work miraculously when you have no control or no power at all to fix the situation that you found yourself in. That by faith, hallelujah, by faith, you'll overcome it. And of course that's predicated upon it being proper faith. Faith laid in Christ and what he did at the cross. Maybe you need your finances fixed. Maybe you need your family fixed. Maybe you need a family situation fixed. Maybe it's an employment situation. Maybe it's a health issue. Whatever it is. Two things I want to leave you with this morning. Number one, you have nothing to fear if your faith is in Jesus Christ. You have nothing to fear. If God in his wisdom allows that disease or malady to take you from this world, you go to heaven. But whatever the case, have the faith. Let the Holy Spirit cultivate in you this morning the faith of these four lepers. It says, I'm not going to sit still. I'm going to keep believing him. Because I have much to gain that cannot be taken away from me. It's by faith. By faith, you're going to make it. By faith, you're going to make it. You see, when Jesus began speaking these great words about faith in Mark chapter 11, notice he says, whosoever will. Whosoever will operate this way, I'll bless him. You know what the beauty of that? That puts faith and the blessing of God and the grace of God within reach of every living soul. It's not predicated on their social status. It's not predicated on their financial status. It's not predicated upon their professional status. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. You see, faith is God's commodity. Faith is the methodology through which God has chosen to deal with mankind. It's the only route that he will deal with mankind through is faith. He's sovereign. He chose that. Faith. And by faith, if you won't quit, God's going to help you. The desired will, Linda, I'm thinking of you this morning and your husband. It's God's will to save him. You don't have to sit down and wonder, Lord, do you want to save my husband? Absolutely he does. You can believe him for that, Linda, and stand on his word for that, and you're going to see it happen. Amen. You see what I'm talking about? That's the revealed word of God. Just don't doubt, Linda. Don't give up. He may get a little bit mean before he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to pray him in, and we're going to see him won to Jesus Christ. Amen? And whatever, that's the application there. I pray you're seeing it. I appreciate the extra time you've allowed me this morning. But I pray that we've all learned something, and the Holy Spirit has given us some revelation today. It's by faith. By faith. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep walking. Keep walking. Keep walking toward the thing you fear the most that you think might destroy you. And when you get there, you're going to find your God was already in front of you. Hallelujah. Just like these four lepers did. Praise God. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Would you stand? Would you stand? Lord Jesus, this morning, I thank you for the faith I believe has been rebuilt and reestablished in our hearts today. Lord God, you can do anything. Lord, what's impossible with us is altogether always possible with you. And Lord, there are some people this morning in the situations in their lives. With man, they are totally impossible to be overcome. With man, they are totally impossible to be erased and eradicated. But thank God we're not dealing in the realm of man this morning. We're approaching you in the realm of faith, God our Father. And that faith being anchored exclusively in Jesus Christ and what he did for us at the cross, which makes us your sons and your daughters and your anointed. Lord, give fresh strength today to each and every one to not to be afraid to walk toward the thing they're fearing the most. Because they're going to find you've been there before them already. They're your child, Lord. As you've revealed your will to them, let them keep walking in faith. Let us never become still. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each and every one here today that you've given them a fresh impartation from the throne room of God of faith. And I pray that you've given them a fresh revelation of your love, because perfect love casts out all fear. Hallelujah. Lord, give faith today to speak to the mountain with no doubt that that individual's acting on the revealed will of God, confessing the word of God, therefore they can confidently expect the power of God in that situation. Lord, we praise you today. I just feel such a beautiful spirit in this service today. And Lord, as we go forth to attempt to take your message to this world, I know you're going to go before us. Lord, already prepare downtown Springfield to hear the message of the cross. Lord, put people in the right positions on the 25th of October and on the 31st of October. We pray even now you would position lives and circumstances so that they would be within earshot of the greatest message they will ever hear, Christ and Him crucified. And Lord Jesus, anoint us, equip us. Lord, I'm excited about what you're going to do. I'm excited about what you're going to do for individual lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, it's been good to be in God's house with you. We were going to have a quick meeting today after service, but with it being a holiday weekend, we have so many out. And so this Wednesday and next Sunday, we're going to be meeting with people. Again, Michelle has some flyers that if you want to take them and hand them out to whoever, give them to whoever. Our goal, church, is not to populate Crossway Community Church. Now, naturally, we want as many people as God would send us to come here. Our major goal in this outreach is to transmit the message of Christ and Him crucified to all who need it. And take a flyer from Michelle, and we'll be meeting on Wednesday night, on next Sunday, just for a few moments after church. We need your help. We need your help. If you can do anything on those two evenings, please see either myself, Ravana, Michelle, or Andy, and we'll have a job for you to do. So I'm excited about this, and you go in your situation today, walk toward it in faith. Walk toward it in faith. Don't fear. You have nothing to fear. Your future is settled already. Amen? Walk in faith.